A recent survey, we're going to be going over to Australia, a recent survey reveals troubling attitudes towards Jews in Australia. Alarmingly, one in five young people aged 18 to 34 have witnessed or heard anti-Semitic incidents locally. This comes amid a surge in anti-Semitic acts, including a synagogue arson and violent protests targeting Jewish communities. You know this. If you've listened to Chai FM, you'll know this because we've been covering it in news. Despite this, many Australians support action against religious intolerance. The Combat Anti-Semitism Movement plans a summit in September to tackle rising anti-Semitism and to promote community safety. Joining me right now is policy analyst at the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council, Justin Amler. Hello, Justin. How are you?
Good, thanks, Kathy. Thanks. Nice to be on your show again.
It's always lovely to speak to you. Justin, Australian youth, where is the intolerance coming from?
That's a very good question. And I think why, you know, you highlighted the youth, I think a lot of it comes from social media. You know, the people obviously are on their phones the whole day and they're seeing all these images from Israel. And I think that has an effect on people over here, because for a lot of people these days, they get their news from social media. And social media, as you know, is it can be a cesspool of anything. And, you know, people don't get their news in the old days from traditional media anymore. They get a lot from on their phones, from TikToks, Instagram images. And I think this absolutely shapes their opinion of world events, or of all events, I should say.
So what sort of measures can Australia take?
I mean, look, it's very...
You know, where does censorship come into it? Or is there such a thing?
No, look, I mean, you know, obviously free speech is sacrosanct to any kind of democratic society. But there is a difference between free speech and hate speech. And I think the line crosses. Free speech, when we talk about free speech, you know, people can disagree vehemently with criticism of Israel, or they can disagree with Israel and the policies. That is free speech. You're allowed to say that. But when people start equating all Zionists or terrorists or gas the Jews, that goes way beyond any kind of line of free speech. So I think we need to distinguish that difference between hate speech and free speech. And, you know, free speech, absolutely permissible and encouraged, but hate speech is a line that I don't think we should cross. In any society, there's no such thing as complete freedom of speech. You have to have some kind of limit. Otherwise, it absolutely is incitement, and we see the results of that on a daily basis.
Do we have an official definition of hate speech, or is it on a case-by-case basis?
Well, that's a good question. You know, what some people might say is hate speech, others might disagree. But I think if you vilify any kind of...
Yeah, we can continue to debate it, but at some some point, there has to be a red line that is crossed.
Yeah, I mean... I think when you vilify people for their faith, their religion, you know, their ethnicity, not for any of their opinions, but just for their being of who they are, I think that is very much hate speech. I don't see how a person is, what they're made up of, despite what they say. If that person is being vilified, that is absolutely hate speech, in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't know. We don't have it so clear cut, you know, in the world, because the world, as you say, is all about permissiveness, right? That all speech should go. In the good old days, you know, in London, I think they had Speaker's Corner, right?
Yes, I remember that.
Right. So there was Speaker's Corner, and if you spoke rubbish, they would throw you off. But today, social media doesn't do that. Anybody who can open up their mouth, who can type, who has a smart device, can say whatever the hell they want, and there's no sanction.
Well, yeah, you know, you mentioned Speaker's Corner. Now everyone's got their own Speaker's Corner
exactly.
on their phone.
Exactly.
So it's you can literally say whatever you like, and there will always be followers. But as I say, in a society, in a tolerant society, you have to have limitations on that. I don't believe in complete freedom. If you had complete freedom, you could be staying on the corner wishing death and violence on everyone. And I don't think any kind of self-respecting, tolerant society can allow that.
Justin,
Sorry,
I interrupted you.
No, carry on.
Is Australia a permissive society? Is it a tolerant society, or is it intolerant? Or are there certain things of which it is intolerant?
Look, I think by and large, Australia has always been a tolerant society. It's a very multicultural society. There are people from all over the world here. There are many nationalities, and people get along fine. It's not a divisive society. But unfortunately, you know, when it comes to the Jews, there's always something different about that. It seems to unearth a kind of primal desire or something in people. And it's not just Australia, I should add. It's all around the world we're seeing this. Jews are treated, historically, they've always been treated different to any other group. And unfortunately, no society, I think, is immune from that, whether it's Australia, whether it's Canada, the USA, Britain. We see it everywhere. I mean, case in point, for instance, the war in Ukraine, you know, no one's going around attacking Russian churches, for instance, and no one's going around attacking Russian churches, you know, for the war in the Ukraine. And no one's going around attacking Chinese for the way the Chinese government is, for instance, treating the Uyghurs in China.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Jews, it's suddenly allowed. I mean, because of the war in the Middle East, Jews are finding themselves, not just in Australia, but all around the world, as targets. And we've seen this. I mean, we've spoken before, Kathy, about astronomical increase of anti-Semitism in Australia, like over 300%. And that's only increased. Well, I can't say the numbers increased because we haven't seen any reports after that, but we can see synagogues attacked, graffiti continues, people get attacked, hate speech online. It's relentless. And, it's again, no other community seems to be targeted in the way Jews are.
Yeah. So as an analyst, right, what would, if you were going to come up with a strategy to change the outlook for the Jews of Australia into a positive outlook, what would that strategy look like, Justin?
That's a great question. I wish I could give you an easy answer. But look, what I would say is, we spoke about tolerance. I think there has to be a crackdown on where this hate speech comes from. For instance, there are demonstrations against Israel every week. Now, I know I mention Israel a lot because it is really connected. With what goes on in Israel affects Jews locally.
Right, they sneeze, excuse. They get a cold, we all sneeze, right. Got it.
Exactly, 100%. So there are demonstrations every week in the city demonizing Jews, signs with Zionists or terrorists or death to the IDF. Every week, it's every week. In fact, last weekend they were holding up Nazi symbols, which is actually
Justin. 2 days after the 7th of October attacks, they were shouting "Gas the Jews" at Sydney Opera House. I mean,
exactly.
We remember that.
And
we're aware that there is anti-Semitism in Australia. But how does that change? Yes. You know, Australia for a long time, I'm sorry to say this, but Australia for a long time has denied the fact that they have one of the fastest and largest growing neo-Nazi movements in the world. But Australia likes to think that it's a tolerant society. I disagree with that. I don't think it's tolerant. Sorry.
Well,
I know you're Australian, but I don't think it's tolerant at all.
I accept it. It's very hard to say it's tolerant when we have 316% increase in anti-Semitism. So I'm not going to argue on that point. I think there are pockets of society, you know, which is certainly pockets of society where you see that intolerance a lot more. But all I would say is the same argument for Australia can be made for so many other countries, which we seemed on the surface to be quite tolerant, but after October 7th, it seemed to peel back a lot of that intolerance, and that's where it came out. So I think every society certainly has this, has this intolerance. I do think in terms of combating it, look, it's a very difficult, anti-Semitism, we're not going to stop it today. It's been going on for thousands of years, but there has to be a crackdown on hate speech, on people who incite. Now, I'm not saying that will stop anti-Semitism, but what it will do is stop giving permission for these groups to spew their poisonous vile in the city streets. That would at least turn down the volume, possibly.
Yeah. Well, that would be nice, except that, you know, when those groups went and protested on the on the steps of the, what was it, the Sydney Legislature, was it?
Sydney Opera House, yeah.
Not the Opera House. Yes. I think this was the Legislature. This was about 6 months ago.
Okay.
You know, what was the sanction? Nothing. There was no sanction.
No, exactly.
There was nothing because it was under the banner of freedom of speech. So how do we have freedom of speech without structure? We cannot have freedom without there being a framework. And that framework are the policies, the statutes, but we maybe it has to just start with the darn definition.
Look, it's exactly right. Yes, and you're right. It is a debatable. But like I said, if someone, you know, it's, well, people will argue that death to the IDF is you know, permissible. But as we know, in Israel, almost every person serves in the IDF, and calling for death for the IDF is a literally call for the death of the citizens of Israel. So, you know, a lot of the anti-Israel group, they try and couch it under freedom of speech. But we all know very clearly that when you peel back the layer, it's pretty clear exactly what they mean. Unfortunately, what we need is leaders and governments who can speak with confidence and surety about, you know, what is permissible and what is not allowed. I mean, as I said, you can absolutely criticize the Israeli government. In fact, the biggest critics of the Israeli government are Israelis themselves. But, you know, it always goes a step further. When you're basically stopping traffic in the city, when you're screaming slogans, when you're holding up swastikas, when you're saying Zionists are terrorists, no one can just say, if you say Zionist is terrorist, that means you're saying that Israel shouldn't exist. And if you're calling for the annihilation of a country,
I'm not.
That goes beyond.
I'm not going to agree with you on that. But we're going to have to leave that discussion for another time. But thank you, Justin. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you very much, Kathy.
Yeah, thank you. And just be well. Thank you for always being available. I really appreciate it. It's Justin Ambler, who is the policy analyst at the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council, talking about anti-Semitism in Australia. Do you agree with that? Do you disagree with that? That if you say that the IDF or Zionists are terrorists, that you are calling for a destruction of the state of Israel? I mean, how many people say Hamas is terrorists and yet people are fighting and saying, no, they should be the government of Gaza?